Amen. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Melody, Jordan, Mitchell. Appreciate the worship songs this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, as we talk about friendship with God. This friendship with God started for Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. As we've been walking through this Genesis series for the last two summers, we're going to come to a close in our Genesis for the summer here in the next couple weeks, and then we'll bring it back again next summer as we walk through this great beginning, these origins of how we understand who God is and also how we understand our relationship with God. Genesis chapter 18, I want you to consider this friendship with God that Abraham has. And I hope you have as well. Let me ask you something. Do you have a good friend? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man has many companions and may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you have that kind of friend? What makes someone your friend? Trust? I would imagine that's one of them. You can trust this person with anything, with everything. They're faithful. They don't bail on you when things get tough. They don't talk behind your back. That makes a good friend. A true friend you can talk to about anything, right? You're comfortable with them. You don't feel like you have to reserve anything. The conversation just flows. You want to spend time with this person. You miss them, maybe when they're not around. That's what makes someone a really close friend. I hope you have friends like this. Let me ask you something, and I think chapter 18 kept asking me as I was studying this passage, is God your friend? Now, this isn't a weird question, though it might some to some, it might sound like a weird question. How can God be your friend? Well, do you know that God's word says he desires to be your friend? The best of friends? I love what Jesus says. He says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, speaking to his disciples, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what the master's doing, but I have called you my friends. That had to have been so encouraging. We see from Jesus, though, there is a prerequisite to being a friend of God, to being a friend of Jesus. We see that you have to trust him. You have to rely on him. You have to place your faith in him. That begins with repentance and turning to Christ. And believing that he rose from the dead, that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. That is the prerequisite to being called a friend of Jesus. Throughout Scripture, you will see this idea of friendship with God. Friendship with the Creator of the universe. Did you know that? Psalm 25 verse 14 says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his relationship, his covenant. Are you a friend of God? In chapter 18, Abraham is learning what it means to walk in faith, to walk in the trust and reliance on this God who initiated a relationship with him in Genesis chapter 12. And that's how it always happens, by the way. God initiates this friendship. Our response is to repent and believe. God doesn't desire a distant relationship. Most of my life, I was taught in religious circles, in religious church, that God is some distant figure that doesn't really have a desire to have a relationship with me in a personal way. And so I just grew up that God is just distant. It wasn't until God saved me and I began to read God's word that I realized he wanted a personal relationship with me, as he does with you. Did you know that Abraham, who he's going to be called here shortly, Abram was called a friend of God? God said to the people of Israel, he said this in Isaiah 41, "But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend." You know, it was taught in the New Testament as well. In James chapter 2, Jesus' brother says this, and the scriptures was fulfilled that says, "Abram believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." Again, even in the New Testament, this idea of friendship with God wasn't a novel concept. It was something that was taught. It was something that was needed. And so this morning, as we walk through Genesis chapter 18, I want us to ask this question. What does it mean to be a friend of God? I think Genesis chapter 18, at least the first section, verses 1 through 16, give this idea of what it means to be a friend with God. It's funny, is the next section, which we'll talk about next week, from verses 17 all the way through chapter 19, is what it means to be a friend of the world. As Lot, who was supposed to be walking with God, started to become a friend with the world, hence Sodom and Gomorrah. But this morning, in Genesis chapter 18, I want us to consider the question, what does it mean to be a friend with God? As Abraham is beginning to develop this friendship that started in Genesis 19. Well, the first thing, and I've already alluded to this, it's not in the actual text of Genesis 18, but I want to make sure you understand it very clear. You cannot be a friend of God unless you are born again. We've said it in Genesis, or in Psalm 25. We alluded to it again in John chapter, Jesus says it in John chapter 15, "Unless you obey me," the idea of obedience there is putting their faith and trust in Christ. If you do not do that, you are an enemy of God. You cannot be his friend. You must be born again or you can't be his friend. I was excited this past weekend on Sunday, as we had our men's steak and corn, men's fellowship, and what a great opportunity that was to meet a bunch of guys and just to fellowship around. But toward the end of the night, a gentleman came up to myself and Mark Curtis, and he explained to us with great joy, he pulled us aside, and with great joy, he said, "Hey, I just want you guys to know, I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Daniel, I rejoice in you because now you are a friend of God." And you will learn in chapter 18, as those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what it means to be a friend with God. You look at this scripture, Daniel, sorry, just pointing you out, buddy. You're going to look at this scripture with the Holy Spirit teaching you what it means to be a friend of God. I love what Tim Keller said regarding the understanding of this gospel message. And you must understand, those of you who are here and have yet to place your faith and trust in Christ. You know, usually I end with a message with this. But nothing is more critical than this for some of you. You are wanting to know about this relationship with God, and it must begin with you being born again. Tim Keller says, you're so bad, Jesus had to die for you. But you're so loved that Jesus was willing to die for you. Isn't that good news? Most people miss heaven, or the people that don't accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, will miss heaven because they never see themselves as bad. You must understand, to be born again, you are a sinner in need of salvation so that you can be a friend of God and not his enemy. We haven't even gotten to our passage yet. Let's go. Genesis chapter 18. The first thing I want you to see regarding, go back real quick so they can see it. Yes. The first thing, and what does it mean to be a friend of God, is you adore him. You adore him. Look what the word says. Look what Moses writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says this, and the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of the Mamre. Again, this is the pre-incarnate Christ before he took on flesh. And he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes. This is Abram. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold. Oh, I'm sorry. Abram lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. The pre-incarnate Christ and two angels were standing in front of him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent of the door to meet them. And he bowed himself to the earth. Don't just read past those verses. He ran to the door. This beginning of this relationship, we just talked about it in Genesis 17. The first time that God appeared, it was always through the voice or in a vision. In chapter 17, God appeared to Abram, and now in Genesis 18 again, he appeared to Abraham, and Abraham ran to the door. This idea of this is that he couldn't wait to see his God. He was excited. He wanted to talk to him. Abraham was a friend of God, and he adored him. What does that look like for us? Friends of Jesus, what does it look like to adore him? I think often we can look at our adoration of God in our prayer life. What does our prayer life look like? What are you talking with God about? What are you excited to meet with Jesus on a daily basis with? Does your prayer life match your walk with Jesus? Who do you pray for? What do you pray for? What does your praise for God look like? So let me ask you something about friendship, just in general, friendship in general. Do you tell your friends how much you love them and appreciate them? Do they know it? Do you start the day excited to talk to your friend? Abraham is running to God. He is thanking him for coming to his house. Abraham is a friend of God, and he adores him. What does it look like to have a friend of God, to be a friend of God? The second thing, not only in verses 1 and 2, this idea of friendship. Abraham was called a friend of God. We see his adoration for God, but we also see in verses 3 through 8 that he wanted to spend time with him. It wasn't just, hey, God, thank you. I love you. Now let me get about my day. The idea here is that Abraham wants to spend time with God. How do we see that? Well, let's look at verses 3 through 8. Let's read them. Again, and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham quickly went to the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man who prepared it quickly. Now again, if it's a steak, that can be done quickly. A good steak, that is. Then he took curds of milk and the calf, and he prepared it, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Now keep it on that passage. It says, Abram says, do not pass by your servant. You can just feel the desire that Abram has to hang out with the pre-incarnate Christ and some of his angels. I mean, who wouldn't, by the way? Look at all the things that Abram did to make it special. The food, the drink. I mean, it's a party. He wanted to be around his friend. So it begs the question, do we want to spend time with God? We say we are friends with God. Do we spend time with him? Do we want to spend time? Do we want him to hang around us? The idea here that I want to get across is this. Not only is this their adoration, this prayer time, but when I see this time spent with him, the idea here I want to get across is, what is your time spent in the Word of God? Do you want to read or listen to God's Word because you like hanging out with God? Is he your best friend? Listen how Abram, he wants to prepare. He's not rushed. Though he is doing it quickly out of respect, the idea is he wants Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, to hang out a while. So what does this look like for us? Maybe for some of you it means to really set aside time in your day, in the morning, that is uninterrupted. You set aside time with God because it's the most important time of your day. Because he's your friend. Because you want to hear from him. Because you need to hear from him. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I think our Bible studies or our time in God's Word is a rush. You know, because we've been taught our whole lives, read your Bible if you're a Christian. Here's what I would say to this. If you are truly a born-again Christian and you are in love with him, you adore him, you can't wait to be in God's Word with him. We're going to learn about what it means to be a friend with the world when we look at Lot, who was also a righteous man. But you're going to see these two parallels. And that's where we find ourselves this morning. Are we walking with God like Abraham as a friend, or are we walking with the world as our friend? Because either you're a friend of one or you're an enemy of the other. But Abraham's showing that there is this desire. He had a desire to spend time with God because he loved him. And that would be my thing to say. Stop reading God's word to be able to argue a point. Stop reading God's word so that you can debate somebody. Start reading God's word so you fall in love with him for who he is and what he's done. And the Bible will just come alive. You're not just reading to say, I get this check mark as a Christian. You're reading because he is your friend and you want to hear from him. Start that tomorrow morning. This isn't to badger you, follower of Christ. This is to encourage you. If Jesus has saved you and you are called his friend, he is teaching us what it means to walk in friendship with God. And part of that friendship is you want to spend time with him. You need to spend time with him. I love going out to our property and just praying and reading God's word. Now, why do I go to the mammary tree at High Point property? No, it's not the mammary tree. I go over there because oftentimes at my office, believe it or not, I can get interrupted at any time. Even if I close the shades and lock the door, it seems like they just knock and they know I'm in there. But I have learned that if I don't spend time with my Lord and Savior, I don't care if my job's a pastor, I'm not being a very good friend. I may sit and say, well, God, I prayed on my way from work all the way to my office. And those of you who know where I live and where my office is, that took about 30 seconds. And I think oftentimes my friendship with God is just me talking. And then what I've learned, even as I looked through this passage in Genesis chapter 18, I was convicted that it's the time spent in the Word is when God gets to talk to me. Is your conversation, is your friendship with God just a one-way street? I would encourage you that God wants to talk to you too. And it's found in his Word. James chapter 4 says this, Draw near to God. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. I love that idea. But there is an obedience that takes place. There is a stepping in the water as the Levites did, as the part of the Red Sea. There's this idea that God desires for you to want to spend time with him. I want you to think about this regarding your friendship. I think we can get very distracted. Spending time with God in his word will be the most exciting time of your day if you are truly in fellowship with God. What priority does it have in your life? I love in Luke chapter 10, we see this idea with Jesus, with Mary and Martha. Just read with me in the Gospel of Luke. It says, now they went on their way. Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Well, that's good. She had called her sister Mary. And what did Mary do? Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, Martha, I so relate to Martha. Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. What was necessary? Sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to his words. That was more necessary than anything that needed to be done. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. What does it look like to be a friend of God? You want to spend time with your Lord. Bible study groups. This can foster this. You can pore over chapters and chapters and fall in love with God. Fall in love with Jesus, your Lord and Savior. These times, brothers and sisters, these times will become treasured times for you, like any treasured time you have with a friend that you've loved for any length of time. I love what Psalm 119, verse 162 says. I rejoice in the word as a man who discovers a great treasure. Is that what it looks like in your time with the Lord? Let's move on. Not only do we adore him, not only do we want to spend time with him, but what does it mean to be a friend of God? Well, it means we're going to be growing in our faith. We're going to be growing in our faith. Let's look at verses 9 through 15. And they said to him, meaning the angels and the pre-incarnate Christ, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. You know, what's going on out there? Abraham and Sarah were old and advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. In other words, she couldn't, humanly speaking, it was impossible for her to have children at her age. Impossible. So Sarah laughed, kind of following her husband from the previous chapter. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, meaning Abraham, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? And I want you to glean onto this verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. About this time next year, Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah, she denied it. I didn't laugh. It's funny, is Isaac, again, will be called Isaac, which means he laughed. Just a constant reminder to both of them. For she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Now I want you to focus your attention on verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If you are a friend of God, you will learn what it means to grow in your faith. And how does that happen? It happens because God is in the business of doing the impossible. Like saving a man who didn't believe in him. The same thing that the angel has to tell Mary at the idea that she would give birth to the Son of God through a holy conception. Look at Luke chapter 1. The angel tells Mary, for nothing will be impossible with God. Jesus, by the way, would say the same thing regarding how he can save a sinner. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I want you to memorize this verse. I want you to consider this verse as we walk in faith with God. Consider this verse when you go through a trial. Consider this verse when you are tested in your faith. Consider this verse when you get bad news. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You have to answer this question in your walk of faith. You have to answer this question if you are to grow in faith. Whatever you have to go through, whatever we have to go through as Christians, it is meant to grow our faith because God is our friend. Will you rely on Him when it seems impossible? Will you pray? Will you spend time with Him? And do you really believe He is in control? Can God answer your prayers no matter how hard it is? What have you prayed? Think about your prayer life. I remember once someone said, it wasn't me, but they said, if God were to answer your prayers in the last 6 hours, whatever you prayed in the last 6 hours, how many people would have been saved? Do you believe God can answer your prayers? Do you believe God wants to answer your prayers? Do you believe that there is nothing impossible for God? Now, does that mean that God will heal someone who is sick? He could. Yes, He can. Does that mean that you have a broken relationship, that God can't heal that broken relationship? Yes, He can. Can God save you from your sins? Yes, He can. But the answer is not always for His glory. Do some people get sick and die? Yes. Do some relationships not get healed? Yes. Do some people not come to salvation in Christ? Yes. But I trust the Lord. The Bible's very clear. It's not a matter of if God can do something. Is it if it's His will? That's why He taught His disciples to pray this in Matthew chapter 6. He says this, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A real friend wants you to grow, and so does God. He will grow us through trials. He will grow us through pains. He will grow us so that we are closer to Him. You have to know that Jesus desires for you to grow because He's your friend. Do you believe that? A real friend isn't just waiting to bail on you when things get tough. God doesn't bail on anyone. So, as we close then, I want you to consider a few things from chapter 18. What does it mean to be a friend of God? See, Abram wasn't the perfect example. He struggled. And so do we, don't we? I want you to think of this question in application. What kind of friend am I to God? Number one, again, because I'll close with this as well. What kind of friend are you with God? Well, unless you're born again, you're an enemy. But do you know that God desires to be your friend? That you are so bad, you have sinned so much that he was willing to die on a cross for your sins. You have to acknowledge that your sin has separated you from a holy God. But in his great love, that while you were sinning, he died for you. What kind of friend are you to not receive that truth? I hope today would be the day of your salvation, just like it was for Daniel. Follower of Jesus Christ, do you adore him? When you wake up in the morning, is the first thing on your mind to sing praises that you got another day on earth? An opportunity to live, to make Jesus famous, to glorify God? Do you welcome him like Abram did? Please come in. Please hang out with me. I love you. Do you spend quality time with God? Do you prepare the environment by which you're spending time with your friend uninterrupted so that you can have time with your friend so that you can listen to him? Because you love him. Because he loves you. And then finally, do you see the trials that you're going through, the struggles that you're going through, the losses that you have? Do you see these as opportunities for your faith to grow? For your trust in Jesus to grow? To grow in intimacy with the Creator of the universe? That is God's desire. We have a friend in Jesus, don't we? I pray you walk with him. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. For once again, we have an opportunity in your word to see this intimate relationship that you have with your people. And Lord, I do pray for those that are here that are not your child, but you would so desire for them to repent and believe that you are opening their eyes. Holy Spirit, open their eyes to the truth of Scripture, that they would be humbled, repentant, and put their faith and trust in you today. And for us, Lord, that know you, that we consider you a friend, that we would take this passage and be convicted, be exhorted to realize what kind of friend we really are. You are faithful, and we are dependent on you. And God, thank you for the opportunity that our worship time has to make you famous. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, let's sing one final song.